Mr. Brogan, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Haller, and it's great to be talking to you today.
I hope things are well in your world.
You know, they really are, Haller, and we've been very blessed. I'm blessed beyond what I deserve, that's for sure. We're all healthy, and my kids are hanging in there, I guess a good way to say it, you know, and hoping they'll be able to go back to school.
Jim, let's start with you just giving. Brogan Financial is one of the five-star companies in our community, and you've got a great show on Saturdays that I enjoy listening to. Would you kind of give us an update on where we are in this economy, and especially given the fact that we're 2 days past tax day? So I know you've dealt with a lot of the stuff around the tax deadline moving, and you've been advising your clients, and the world has radically shifted. Kind of give us, set the scene for where you see where we are right now.
That's a great question, Halloran. From my vantage point, you know, the economy has certainly started picking up again. The concern, and you know, the stock market has really rallied almost back to where it was. Which is really quite remarkable. I think the markets are definitely putting a lot of confidence in the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve has taken very aggressive action in helping support the U.S. economy, and I think they'll continue to. And, of course, we've had all the stimulus from Congress. A couple of challenges, of course, we all know about the uptick and all the COVID-19 stuff all around the country. But what people may not realize is we have a series of fiscal cliffs coming up where, you know, a lot of this economic stimulus that's been passed by Congress is going to be stopping. And that's coming up here in just the next few weeks. It's going to start happening. You know, the federal unemployment stimulus of $600 a week, that ends at the end of July. There was some rental protection for renters of their homes. Halloran's almost 23 million households in July say that they have little confidence that they can pay next month's rent. So we just got, you know, it's a lot of people. And there's a lot, you know, the stimulus is still supporting the airline industry. That's going away here in a couple of months. And of course, the payroll protection program stops here in about 3 weeks. So there's, you know, the economy's definitely showing signs of life, and there are some encouraging things, but there are definitely some challenges ahead of us.
So let's talk then about stimulus. Jim, I struggle with this one. I'm a fiscal conservative, right? And the Fed is just printing money. They're literally just printing money. On one side, they're doing all this quantitative easing. They're trying to put liquidity into the market. On the other side, we're sending direct payments to people and companies, and we're blowing out the deficit. But the other thing that's happening is, as we print more money, as you put more money supply out, it reduces the spending power of people's money. So you have people that have investments, and they have lots of money, but the value of that money is going down because there's too much money being pumped in. And, you know, I know you're going to talk a little bit about the need for more stimulus, but how do you reconcile that? How do you give me where you are on this and just talk me through that? Am I crazy?
No.
Is my understanding of economics wrong?
No, the long-term implications are dramatic. You know, what you're talking there with all the extra money diluting what yours and my current money is worth, you know, that, of course, is the concern of inflation. And with the deficit spending, there's the concern of how are you going to pay for all this. Believe it or not, Halloran, in the second quarter of this year alone, we had our deficit was $3 trillion in one quarter.
Wow.
And so it's a lot of money. So the concern now is, you know, we've been around 100 to 105% if you measure our debt as compared to the size of our economy. So our debt to GDP. Well, now it's starting to really escalate, and we could end up at the end of 2021, and who knows, it could be 130, 140, maybe 150%. And when you start getting up to those kinds of numbers, it's really not sustainable. And so something has to give. So there are definitely long-term implications. The challenge, Halloran, is without a lot of economic stimulus, we would have seen a depression. And so it's kind of like we're caught between a rock and a hard place. And in my view, a lot of it's because we didn't have our fiscal house in order prior to this happening. You know, it's kind of like you and I, you know, if I've got 6 or 12 month emergency reserve, then, you know, I've got a cushion for when things happen that I need a cushion that are, you know, unexplained things, emergencies in my life. Well, that's the problem is as a federal country, you know, we have not gotten our fiscal house in order. We were coming out of the Great Recession in 08 and 09. If anything, you know, you could argue the Federal Reserve went too far with some of their quantitative easing, and it's been difficult to unwind that. And so now we're here where we need some cushion, right? We need cushion, and we don't have any room for it. So we're in this quandary where if we don't do things in the short term, the economy could completely collapse. But then what are the long-term implications, which could end up being just a stagnant economy that has a difficult time growing? I'm talking about, you know, Halloran, 3, 4, 5 years from now after all this is in the rearview mirror.
So typically when you're in tight times like this, there is a flight to quality or a flight to safety. If interest rates are at zero, so you trying to find a place where money can earn money gets very interesting. But then you'll have people that are very conservative that say, do I need to move into precious metals? Do I need to get my money out of dollars and put them somewhere else? Meanwhile, the stock market, oddly enough, especially the big four, those stocks are rising. Apple, Amazon, Google, and Facebook, they're on a run still. So talk to me how you look at quality, because I know you're a big believer in don't jump into trying to do market timing or that kind of, you got to be patient. You got to bet on America long term. But are any of your folks getting the jitters and saying, hey, put me in gold or put me somewhere else?
Well, our folks aren't, Halloran, because of the way that we're already diversified. So I'm going to kind of hit on a couple of things you touched on there. First off, the flight to quality still happens. People in you know, like back in March and into early April, we're still flowing into U.S. Treasuries. And even when interest rates are as low as they are, and when you say near zero, I mean, that's, you know, that's the overnight borrowing rate with the banks. So that's, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that's what a 2 or a 5 or a 10 year treasury is paying. But we actually, for the first time in our history, have the 10 year treasury paying less than 1%. And that's been for the last 3 or 4 months. So in spite of interest rates being very, very low, still people still fly and go to those treasuries. And that drives the interest rates even lower. Okay, when that happens. Then we've got, you know, if anything people should learn from the last 4 or 5 months is that we, you know, you said I don't like to time things. I mean, who'd have thunk on March the 21st that we were at the low point in the market and it would have been almost all the way back within 5% or so back of where it was by, you know, the end of June. I mean, it's, nobody would have ever predicted that. And so, you know, one of the problems is if you're, you know, people are like, oh, I feel like I need to get out of stocks. Well, then you get out. Well, then when do you get back in? Because nobody expected a huge rally in early April. And so then you kind of stuck, you're on the sideline and you don't know what to do. Now, you mentioned precious metals. So you're starting to mention alternative asset classes like real estate and commodities and even energy. And then you mentioned bonds. There are a lot of different kinds of bonds. There's foreign bonds that hedge foreign currencies. There's, you know, floating interest rate bonds in the U.S. that can actually go up with rising interest rates. The bottom line here, Halloran, is if you own, you know, you, most people don't want to be just invested in the stock market. You want to be invested in a lot of different things. You want a lot of diversification. And, you know, typically the more diversification you add in some of these other asset classes, you can reduce somewhat the amount of volatility in your portfolio. But if there's one thing I could impress upon, or maybe two, it's, you know, make sure you understand what you have and you measure that risk in your portfolio. And then maybe even more importantly, Halloran, understand that money that's invested in the market has got to have at least a 5 or 6 year viewpoint. And, you know, this 5 months has just reinforced that. You know, I have no idea where the market will be in 6 months or in a year. We don't know if the economic recovery will happen in, we could have a vaccine in October or some treatment for this virus and have a vaccine in January. Who knows what would happen? So in the short term, it's really a crapshoot. But if I'm looking out 5 or 6 years, things become a little bit more clear.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Jim, I want to talk about what you're going to be talking on about on your show tomorrow. He knows what he's talking about. And he can sing. We didn't talk about that. I know we talked about your wife singing, but you can sing too. I've heard.
Yeah, well, it's been, I don't do a lot of that anymore, but that certainly was my first love probably in life was music anyway.
Chris, you hear him doing the aw shucks? I'm calling it like it is. Jim Brogan is my friend.
Halloran, I was sitting around a couple of months ago and Chris texted me a link of something we had done years ago with Cedar Springs Presbyterian back in the 90s and CEC, Community Evangelical Church, Jackson. And I mean, I had not seen that in a long, long time, and it was just kind of funny. It was nostalgic.
Let's talk about your radio show. You really do have a great radio show. I enjoy listening to you on Saturday morning. Remind people of when it is and tell me what you're doing this weekend.
Thank you, Howler. And it's tomorrow morning, Saturday, 9 to 10 o'clock. More Living with Jim Brogan. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the Knoxville real estate market. It is red hot. It is a seller's market. What
really?
Should you be doing with, if yes. It, what should you be doing if you're a seller? What should you be doing if you're a buyer? Because it's very difficult if you're a buyer, especially under $500,000. I mean, the minute a home is listed, it's gone within 24 hours. So what should you be doing? And then I do want to mention, Halloran, next weekend we're having on the superintendent of Knox County Schools, and we're going to talk about the plan for this fall. That'll be very, very interesting.
So
we got some good stuff coming up.
So you say if I put it on the market, it's going to be going in 24 hours.
Yes. Huh. If you have a good value offering, and it's especially under that 500,000 price point, real estate's red hot right now. In Knoxville.
Let's talk a little bit about, because I'm hearing that residential real estate is hot, but commercial real estate as an investment, there's some concern about that. Just because the two things. One, with people working at a distance, companies are going, wait a minute, do we need this much square footage? Do we need to continue operating like this? And number two, businesses that are stressed are having problems paying the lease in these corporate or in these corporate settings. What are you hearing about corporate real estate?
That it is soft, and it is becoming a little bit more of a buyer's market, and may continue to become even more of one. And you've really hit the nail on the head of the two reasons. You know, it's not just the financial challenges in this economy, but it's the, you know, we're living to work, we're learning to work differently, and consumers are becoming used to behaving differently. And so businesses are reevaluating how they serve their clients, how they sell products, everything. And so if they don't need as much space, you know, it does make the real estate softer.
All right. Well, Jim Brogan, he'll be on tomorrow morning with More to Life. They do a fantastic job. I encourage
you
to listen. And thank you for giving us such great insights. How do people take your courses? How do people find you? You're such a stand-up guy, and we love having you on the station. How do people connect with you?
Thank you, Halloran. The easiest way, our website, broganfinancial.com. I will mention on our classes, we're getting started back in August. And at Pellissippi State and the University of Tennessee, we've been able to set up our platform with the colleges where people can either attend in person or they can attend virtually via video conference. So it's going to be really cool so people can do whatever they're comfortable with, will be implementing all physical distancing and both state and local requirements for people that come live, but then we'll also have all the virtual capabilities. So, you know, my goal with everything I do, Haller, and with the radio show and everything, thank you for your kind words, I just want to equip people to make informed and prudent decisions that can impact the quality of their lives. And they need information to do it. So we try to present all kinds of different information as straightforward and as easily to understand as we possibly can.
Jim Brogan, thanks for joining us on the broadcast today.
Thank you, Hal. Bless all of y'all.